Our guest today, Rhonda Vincent. We haven't talked to Rhonda, the absolute queen of bluegrass, no question about it, in a while, and so we spend a lot of nice time with her catching up. Some news about her daughter, Sally. We talk about Dolly Parton, Sonny Osborne. And stick around, because at the end of this conversation, we're going to have a world premiere. A song that's not even been released yet, of a new album, new song from an album coming, Bluegrass Island. You won't have heard it anywhere. If you listen to the end of the conversation, Rhonda says, I guess I should give this to you for a world premiere, and she did, and we're going to give it to you. So first, conversation with the Queen, Rhonda Vincent. One of my favorite guests on Unreal Bluegrass, the frequent contributor, Rhonda Vincent. How are you doing, Rhonda?
Hey, I am doing great. Great to talk to you again.
It's been a while. You know, I was thinking the other day when we were talking about setting this up that it's been before the album came out that has since been was nominated for a Grammy, another Grammy nomination for Rhonda Vincent. Music is What I See. Great album. We had talked about that album coming up because we talked about Unchained Melody was going to be one that you had not released yet, but you're going to release it as a single. And we talked about a few of the songs on the album that was to be coming out. And then it came out, huge hit. I think you just told me that it was number two on Billboard.
Yes, very exciting. Dolly Parton, she's hanging on to that number one spot. So I don't know if we're going to, at least we're number two, though.
Hey, if you're number two to Dolly, you're number one in the rest of the world. And you know her so well. She's just, we talked a little bit this off the air that I don't know, you do. I barely do because I met her and talked to her. But I don't know if people realize the extent of what goes on in her mind and the control that she has over all of her artistic projects. And all of them are successful.
She's amazing. I mean, from every aspect, from just the type of person that she is, you know, she's exactly what she appears to be. What you see is what you get. Her writing, her business sense, and like you were saying, her wit. She's very quick.
Oh, my.
Quick-witted, and I just love her.
And her business, you've touched on something, too, that I don't – people, you know, they may – pigeonhole Dolly Parton. And we're going to talk about you, but since you're here, I'm going to talk about Dolly for just a minute, because she does have the Run, Rose, Run. But I think people think, well, she's a great songwriter, she's a great singer, she does. But her business sense, I think, is the one that people don't really. I've said this about you, Ron, and I've said this to many people, including Sonny, and I have to say that. But I said this to him also, that your grasp of business and being ahead of the curve on what's necessary to keep Rhonda Vincent and Rhonda Vincent and the Rage and all the music being there and being in compliance with all the things you have to do, all of the media things that you are absolutely on top of. I like in your business sense the Dolly's business sense. It's one of the most acute business minds I've ever come across.
Well, thanks. But you know what? I look at Dolly as a role model in all of those aspects. She can be anything she wants to be. She's a world icon. But I love that she is so down to earth and that she, well, some people will say, and Sonny's one that would say that. It's like, don't do this. You'll overexpose yourself.
Right.
I mean, Dolly is into everything. She's, you know, writing a book with James Patterson. This is going to be a movie that she's connected with Reese Witherspoon and the movie, the book Dumplin or the Project Dumplin and the movie before with Jennifer Aniston. You know, she's always her. I think that's what keeps her mind sharp. And I really look at that and I think of a lot of the same thing. It's like, I want to create new things. Now, my husband is retired, probably since the last time I talked to you.
I think so.
And so he's fishing and golfing, living his best life now. He thinks I should retire, but
no.
You know what? I feel like we're in such a great place because I love what I do. And I love performing, and I love all the different projects that we get to do. Herb says, you don't have to do that. You could just chill out. Dolly doesn't have to do that either, but she does. And that's what something that I admire about her. You know, no matter how old she continues to thrive and to always reinvent things and get into different aspects of the business. Now writing this book with James Patterson that she said she never thought she would do. So I thank you for that compliment.
Well, you're the closest analogy I can think of to Dolly Parton and the full scope of all the things, creative sense and business sense. And you, like Dolly, Dolly has one of the – it's kind of a secretive thing. It comes out every once in a while as to the the heart that she has and the giving feeling that she has and the fact and the library that she makes available, the books for children. Those things aren't forefront with her. If you know about her, and you do, I know a little bit because I researched it, as a person, if she did nothing else as a person, Dolly Parton is someone that you would want to know and call a friend.
Absolutely. You know, when I had a life-threatening illness in 2005, didn't expect to lose. I woke up at the hospital, got to home to my home in Greentop, Missouri, and she was standing in my living room, and she said, "I had to make sure you were okay myself." Mm-hmm. She does so many things like that.
That you never know about.
People have no idea.
No,
yeah. Nobody knows. She doesn't, you know what, that's what the Bible says, is, you know, you do a good deed and don't tell anybody about it.
That's right,
it. You know,
that's right.
The things Jesus would do, and then he would say, don't tell anybody. Of course they had to go tell everybody. It was so, these miracles and these were so, such amazing things. And Dolly's a lot of the same thing. She does all these wonderful things, and of course you have to tell somebody. It's like, you will not believe what this lady that did not have to do this,
nope,
went out of her way, traveled 550 miles to Greentop, Missouri, and was standing in my living room.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
The only time I met her, it was very early in the morning, and we were in Nashville in the sound studio where there's a lot that goes on there. And she was dressed to the nines at like 8 o'clock, and I mean, just absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that she offered, not in response to a direct question, but she said, you know, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
Yeah, I was reading something yesterday about that.
And I thought, oh, man, you got, what a beautiful – and there's nothing you can say. She just laughs it off, and you're thinking, well, I never said you look cheap, but she's just she takes it away from you. She takes those – her mind is so quick, she takes away those things that if you had any kind of bad intent or thought you're going to catch Dolly, and you're not. You never will. And she takes it all away from you before you have a chance.
I was reading a thing that said that she said she does not feel like a star. You know, she may look like one or dress like one, but she never feels like that. And I understand that. I feel like that, I guess, about the Grand Ole Opry. It's like, I'm a Grand Ole Opry member,
yeah. But
I still walk in there and I still feel like, you know, the teenager that visited there and couldn't get backstage. But now it's like, I'm walking the halls of the Grand Ole Opry. I have a locker. I finally got a locker
good.
Grand Ole Opry. So exciting. And now I don't have to, like, slop all my stuff back and forth. I would get there one day. I had to ask Jeannie Seeley for mascara. She looked at me like, are you serious? And I said, yes. Do you have any mascara? She said, I just bought some. Here you go.
Oh, my. You know, you.
So now I have all of those things at the Opry.
I think you've added, it's because of your vitality that you just normally have. Any time of day, this is Rhonda. Speaking on the phone now, this is Rhonda any time of day. But I think your vitality I think you've elevated and boosted the feeling of energy that comes from the Grand Ole Opry. That's saying a lot. But I know that you're there a lot, and you're always participating in things, and you're always boosting and helping to promote, just as you do your business and the band alone. But you're always helping promote the Grand Ole Opry, which I think is just they got a lot more than they bargained for when they brought you on. It's like they have an ambassador to the world, I think, where you're just always mentioning the fact you're going to be there, and you are there. And I think it's remarkable that you do that.
I love it, and I feel so privileged and so honored that I get to be there.
You know, when the Osmond brothers were put in, I guess in the early 60s, I've talked to Sonny and Bobby both about this. They were going to quit. You know, this is after they'd had Ruby and a couple other, and they were, I remember Sonny told me he was in a hotel up in Pennsylvania, and they were just going to quit. They decided they were going to pack it in. Bobby was going to go back to driving a cab in Dayton, and Sonny was going to go back to doing whatever, but they were going to quit. And Sonny made one call to the guy who could help him and told him, you have to get us on the Grand Ole Opry. As a member, they had appeared there. You have to get, because that's what's going to make us, you know, click over to the successful path. And some things went together, and it finally happened, and they went in that year. And as Sonny said, we were going to quit. We just had talked about it. It wasn't, you know, we had some hits. We had Ruby. My gosh, they had Ruby and other hits, and it just wasn't working for them. So they were just going to close down the Osmond Brothers. So that year, Sonny put one last drive on to be in a member of the Grand Ole Opry and did it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Isn't that great?
You know what? You never know what path is in store. God, if you look at God's will for you, and he always gives us the desire of our heart. So very thankful. Very thankful. And well, I'm really thankful for the Osborne brothers. You know, we were on the opera last week or so, and we got to, you know, Bobby was there. Yeah. Of course, he was in the bluegrass room. We never know. We bop around at the different dressing rooms, but I love that we went to hang out with Bobby, and it was in the bluegrass dressing room.
So I've obviously never been backstage before, but when you say there's a bluegrass dressing room, there must be other places, and things are always happening. But so if you wanted to go to the bluegrass room, Bobby was there this time, but other people are probably there that you're not aware are necessarily going to be on the show that night.
It could be. You can take a tour back there now and you can get to see it. Okay. And, you know, they have a new thing at the Opry. You can purchase a ticket and have a dressing room while the show is going on. You can have your own. I mean, you get to share it with some other people, but kind of a cool thing.
Just a little backstage.
They were talking, you know, years ago, Roy Acuff always had dressing room number one. You know, there was always a jam session going on constantly. While the Opry was going on, there were people playing. It would be lined all around the room, and people would be in and out of there as they would go to do their spot. And that's something we were talking about. We were playing, and people started coming over and listening, and a fellow was pointing out that this used to be what always happened. There was always a jam session there, and was describing it to some young gals that, you know, they're just now starting their career, and how that. He said, you know what, you need to appreciate this, and this is something. I tried to get him to sing, and they're like, oh, no. And it's like, that's what we do. This is a jam, and you just get to join in. And I think that's wonderful that we can bring that back at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, you and I haven't talked. We talked about Bobby. I know what Sonny meant to you. Sonny has been a friend of mine since 2001, I think. And when I explain this to people, and you know this because you had been with us on several occasions, It wasn't for me, and it wasn't for you either. I didn't. People would say, well, you were friends with Sonny Osborne. And I said, yeah, I was. But, you know, we mostly just talked about stuff. It wasn't always about banjos. That's why I met him through banjo stuff. But I would call him often and ask him about whatever was on my mind. So he was more like somebody that I knew who was really famous and incredibly talented. And I could go to that if I needed to. But he was just as good a friend as I've had over the last 20 years, and I would call him a lot of times. It had nothing to do with bluegrass, banjo, I just got to get Sonny's opinion on stuff, because he had very thoughtful opinions, and he had this very, he had this way of bringing things to a real simple, and he could give you an answer, no matter what it was, whether it was bothering you or whether you were happy, you wanted to celebrate, he could get right to that point because he knew exactly what you were looking for. And I know that you and I haven't seen each other since the last time we had lunch together, but I was very happy to get to see you at some of those things. And of course,
he was a tremendous mentor, and I mean, he gave the best advice. And like you say, it didn't have to be about music. It could have been about a band member. What should I do? What about this song? I sent when we did "Mama Tried" the very first time. You know, he helped me mix it. We threw mixes around, and I mean, there were so many different things. You know, the best thing ever is he drove over. We went to a party for Lance Leroy, a pool party. It was by the pool at his son's house. And so he came and picked me up. At first, only time he ever did that. He drove to my house there in Nashville, picked me up, and he said, let's go to lunch, and then we'll go to the party. And I took him to Monell's, which was, you know, that's family style. I don't know if you've ever eaten
that
before.
No.
So it's family style. You're eating with about 12 different people. It was on a Sunday at 1 o'clock, so the place was packed. They did not know who either one of us was. They did not know who we were. And we sat at this table with all of these people, and they're talking back and forth and asking him things. He never once revealed who he was, nor did I. And when we got out of there, he said, don't you ever do that again.
Yep. It's, you know, I know that he and I, he used to call me every once, a couple times. He said, what are you doing Friday night? And I said, well, whatever you tell me I'm doing. And we were going to go to Glasgow. You were in Glasgow, Kentucky. This goes back a couple years. And Aaron had borrowed Sonny's Granada. He would let Aaron take it. You know, that's not too that far from Nashville.
I got my picture with it that night.
Yeah, right. So he says, why don't you meet me down there? And I said, okay. And so as we're going into the place, into the It looked like a renovated movie theater. It was a nice little venue, I thought. I'm sure it's still there. I just don't remember the name of it. That was like, nobody's to know who he is. It's all a secret.
Yep.
So as we're going in, he was having some leg and back issues, sort of, you know, I never was quite sure he was. He wasn't using a cane then, I don't think. He might have been off and on, but so he wants to sit down before the doors are open. And the person working behind the booth, ticket booth, had no idea. And Sonny said, I would like to go sit. I'm just standing back because I would like to go. Well, we don't open until 7:30. He goes, you don't understand. I want to sit down. And he was feeling his back hurt. He wasn't trying to be mean to her, but he wasn't going to tell her that. So he says to her, you know, I think I'm just going to buy this place. And I thought, I looked at the woman. I said, you don't realize he would actually do that if he thought that it would help him get a seat. So they finally relented and we sat down. But he had his UK hat on, which is a dead giveaway. But there were people that walked up and down the aisle, and a couple of people looked at him and said, sir, are you Mr. Osborne? He said, no. And then they would walk away. So I saw one of those guys later in the lobby. I just kind of nodded, yes, just so you know. Sonny didn't know. That was him, but don't talk to him. Don't say anything to him. And I never tipped you off.
Yep. Well, it's difficult. I know now if I go out and try to listen to another band, people want to talk to you. So if you go and they know who you are, it's almost impossible. So I totally get it. He came to our shows many times and we didn't even know he was there until afterwards.
That's
and
right.
Aaron would go, hey, did you know Sonny was here? And it's like, nope, didn't know he was here.
Yep. And you.
But I totally get that. He was coming for the music. And, I mean, he was just what a great friend and what a wonderful, talented, a wonderfully talented man.
I'll tell you, one time I called him. We've talked a lot about Dolly Parton with Rhonda Vincent, my guest today. Now we're talking a lot about Sonny Osborne, but there's a mutual connection there. I called him once because my daughter's car broke down, and we needed a new car, and we found a used Toyota Hybrid. And we're driving to go look at this thing, and I called Sonny because he had one. And I said, Sonny, what? We're going to look at a used hybrid. And he said, well, if anyone gets them, they don't give them up. So we're driving, and he's doing research. So I hang up, and as we enter into the dealership, I get a call from Sonny, and he tells me the whole lowdown on whether you should buy a used hybrid. So those were the kind of things that I just thought, who can I talk to? I thought, well, Sonny will know something. So it was all those different connections for me, whether it was basketball or baseball.
If he didn't know, he would go find out.
Exactly. And he rushed and called me back within 5 minutes and had all the lowdown on used hybrids. So what a wonderful wonderful friend, and it's hard to imagine that last year. Well, my favorite banjo player, Sonny, was a good friend. I knew Bill Emerson very well. I knew of JD. I didn't know him that well, but I certainly met with him and knew him, but not to the level that Sonny or Bill Emerson, who Bill I knew through Sonny also pretty well. But it was just not a good year. 21 was just not a good year for bluegrass and for all the people that were connected with those individuals.
And there's no, for sure.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
Listen, so Rhonda Vincent, we're going to talk about Rhonda Vincent now. So you are very busy with touring. That's all opened up again. You are never stopping, and I think now you're in full gear. With COVID being relaxed, I know your schedule has just become a beast again, as it always is.
Yes. I mean, we're thrilled to be back on the road. We start back on the road with new members. So there's a renewed energy, you know, when you have something new in your life or in the band or whatever, it just brings this new energy and new possibilities. Zach Arnold joined us a year ago in May. He joined us May 2021 on Mother's Day. And he brings another element to the band. Jeff Parton joined us the year before that. So he's just on his second year, or just celebrated his second year with us. And these two are so very talented, and it's just given us a whole new perspective and just an excitement. I mean, to watch, well, Zach, he's only 21. I was talking to him about, I think it was about Dolly, the first time she ever called me, and the Coda phone was blinking, and he's like, I don't know what that is. I was born in 2000. Like, okay, thank you.
And leave a message on the Coda phone. Everybody knows.
Yeah, Zach had never heard of that before. But he's young, and he has this energy and this excitement and this, you know, everything is new. He had never performed on the Grand Ole Opry before.
Wow. Oh,
and
that's
that was
right.
his dream.
Yeah.
And then May 29th of 2021, that's when the Opry opened it back up for us to bring our band. And so, Zach, that was his first appearance. He has now, in 1 year's time, made 20 appearances on the Grand Ole Opry.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? At that age, and he hooks in with one of the best ever, and he has that opportunity that he just never dreamed. He dreamed of, but never really dreamed of. I mean, he never really thought it was going to happen like that.
Yeah.
So you've got a couple new members. That always does add a new energy to any band, no matter how long and how great they are. New members always, because they're new and they have a different look at things and they have to learn things, that always brings a little extra spark to a band. I think that's what you're saying has happened now.
Yes, that's right. Or to me, it should. That's an opportunity. You know, a lot of people, I used to look at it as, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to replace somebody or, you know, what do we, and instead, I learned to take that, you know, take the lemons and make lemonade. That's what I told Sally when she went off to boot camp. I said, keep God by your side, and if you get handed some lemons, just make some lemonade. And I think that's the thing, is always looking at that in a positive way. Because it's not always – Josh Williams has been in our group twice and
right.
been in our group for a long time. He was a staple in our group. So mm-hmm. My first thought was, oh, no, what will we do? But then you go, all right, if I'm going to have to make this change, I'm going to make it the best – change I can possibly make it. And so that's what we've done.
You mentioned there that Sally, I know this, we talked a little bit off the air and I saw you post something about it. She is the last posting, we'll say, on the social media is that she was in boot camp. Talk a little bit about that, because I don't know that everybody realizes what's going on there.
Well, she will be, after boot camp, will be one of the new vocalists for the United States Navy Band. So she's very excited about that. It's been her goal. And so she started boot camp recently in May of 2022.
Mm.
And she's got – they just changed it from 8 weeks to 10 weeks. So she has a few weeks ahead of her. I've been keeping her in constant prayer. When I talked to her – she didn't sleep the night before. I think, you know, her nerves and just the anticipation of leaving. So I knew that she left not sleeping well, and she hadn't eaten very much. And that concerned me, because I'd heard that your first 48 hours, that they keep you awake the first 48 hours. So she was going to boot camp she would be awake for 3 days. So that concerned me, but I'm sure she's doing great, and she's excited about it. And when she comes out of there, do you know the first place she'll be playing, that she's scheduled to play with the United States Navy Band, is with Rhonda Vincent and the Rage at a festival in Marion, North Carolina.
No
so
kidding.
I'm going to be excited. We're playing. I'm going to get to see my daughter even more now.
Is she right now stationed as far as boot camp? Where does that take place now?
Great Lakes, Illinois.
Okay. Now, when she's out of there, isn't the band sort of, aren't they sort of technically assigned to the vice president?
No, I'm not sure about it. I don't know what her assignment will be or what their assignments are. But I do know that they're scheduled on a lot of bluegrass festivals this year. That they're in Marion, North Carolina. They're in Outer Banks over at Bluegrass Island in Mania, North Carolina. And we just happen to be following them each time. So.
Well, that's nice.
It's going to be exciting.
She's going to have a blast. Everybody, by the way, everybody to the listener, the Navy Bluegrass Band, the alumni out of that band is an all-star band, and they're always an all-star band. And every person in that band, I think of Bill Emerson because I just mentioned him. He had a whole career with the Navy through them. Banjo player that followed him, Keith Arneson, still lives in that area. And they all multiple instrumentalists. They do great shows. You have to really be top of the top of the top to be assigned to that to the Navy Bluegrass Band. They're all just amazing musicians and performers.
They really are. Haley Stiltner, you know, Sally graduated from college at East Tennessee State University with Haley, and I believe with Danny Stewart. I think he was in the bluegrass program there. So she went to college with a lot of these kids. You know, Haley, what an incredible musician. People ask, like, would you ever hire a woman? Yes, I would. And Haley Stiltner would be at the top of my list, because she's an incredible banjo player, guitar player. She plays everything and sings harmony. But she's has been on the Grand Ole Opry with us before. So I'm excited for
that is so
the
neat.
Music that they're going to make. They're going to this is going to be an amazing band, as it always is.
It continues on that tradition. You know, when Bill Emerson went to them, he thought that the entire band would come with him. I'm talking about the Country Gentlemen. And he thought they'd be part of the deal. And some of them were just too old or whatever. But Bill Emerson, the most class person I ever met that played a banjo, had a great career there. Sally Will, I'm sure as long as she wants to stay. Wayne Taylor is somebody that I know pretty well that also went in around that time. And none of them speak ill. It's just all great experiences. And you play for, I'll say in quotes, royalty, but you play for the best in the world because you're part representing the United States Navy.
That's right. And, you know, here's another little trivia for you. When Bill Emerson was in the Navy band, so was a young lady by the name of Tinsel Davidson. And that is my daughter, my youngest daughter, Tinsel's namesake.
Is that nothing? I never, okay. Well, I never knew that at all.
Yeah, Tinsel Davidson was also, and she was a singer in the Navy band when Bill Emerson was there.
Wow. There you go. Every time we just poke a little further, more information comes out.
You never know where we're going to go.
You never know where you're going to go. It's like,
going to be a four-part series, right?
I've done that before. I've done that with people before. But we hadn't touched base in so long, and I thought, well, I should. So much has happened, and I miss seeing you on a regular basis and haven't for a lot of reasons for COVID. But I think I'm going to see you. I will. If it still happens, Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival, you are scheduled back to be there this July. And I know that it canceled the first time that I saw you listed. I was looking forward to seeing you a couple years ago. But so you're locked in back to that again.
Yes, we're excited to get back to Grey Fox. It's been many years since we've been there. I think it's been rescheduled like three times.
Yeah.
So I think all systems are go, and we're excited to get there. You know, we're doing something really crazy. Of course, every day in my life seems to be pretty crazy, but we play in Grey Fox on Thursday. Friday, we fly to Seattle, and we play for, I think it's the 20th or 25th anniversary of the Darrington Bluegrass Festival. I'm in Darrington, Washington, so we'll be there on Saturday and Sunday of that same weekend.
So
talk about coast. We travel coast to coast and around the world, and we're doing the coast to coast all in one weekend.
We're not talking about Washington, D.C. Rhonda's saying she's going to leave Grey Fox, which is upstate New York, and you're going to fly to the other end of the country, continental in Washington State. That's going to be, you'll handle it great. I know you're a trooper. So let me ask you this. When you have younger people on the band, are they used to the pace that Rhonda Vincent always has on the road? Because you are an absolute road warrior. You love it. You live for it. You kill them wherever you go. So how do the younger people, I don't want to talk about particular members, but as young people come into the band and you bring them in because you have to, and it's because it's time to, how do they react to the schedule that you keep, which is just, boy, it's rough.
Well, there's a great story, and we just rehashed Sally and I did. So Sally was in my band, and it was a thing where we played Kodak, Tennessee, and on our way we got to Knoxville. The bus broke down in the middle of the night. We got a ride from there into Nashville. By the time we got, it was all night long. By the time we got to Nashville, it was 7 a.m., and we were supposed to have played that day in Conway, Missouri, and there's no way to physically get there by a car or bus, so I'm trying to figure this out, and so I'm on the phone booking flights. And I had this idea. I took a driver with us. I booked flights to St. Louis. And then we rented a van. I took a driver so we could sleep in the van. And we pulled in just in time to play Conway. So in the midst of Sally hearing me booking flights at 7 a.m., she comes in here and she goes, "Mom, just canceled the show." And I turned to her and I said, "Sally, this is when you find out if you want to do this. Are you a man or a mouse?"
That's right.
And one of the last things she told me before going to boot camp, she goes, "I'm going to be fine in boot camp," she said, because of that single episode of being on the road. And she said, "We didn't lay down to sleep in a bed for three solid nights."
Oh, man.
And she said, "You have prepared me for boot camp."
Well, she was probably, boot camp's probably a walk in the park to her now.
I'm sure. That's what she told me. She said, "There's not going to be anything that you haven't already thrown at me for being on the road." And you know, but it's not just finding great musicians. It's finding great people who they don't have that attitude, or they, you know, when you're in the middle of a crisis like that, that's where you find out if you, it's people that you want in your band.
That's right.
Or not.
That's right.
And if they are gonna, this is my own daughter, so I was I was in the teaching mode with her, and you know, and we had another bus breakdown, and she had a meltdown during that, and I was leaving her at that place. I said, you are staying here. So we had a lot of teaching and learning lessons, but I'm happy to say the people I have in the band now, I mean, they have great attitudes. They're excited to be there, and I think the number one thing, you have to have great musicians, but you have to all be on the same page.
Yeah.
And if you're not on the same page, it's not going to work, no matter how much you love them and no matter how much you love their musicianship. You have to be on the same page, and you have to be that road warrior, and you have to be able to, in a crisis situation is when you that really comes out.
Yeah.
Probably not just even on the road, but in any life situation. But you have to know, are these people going to, you know, are they going to be here to support you during this? Are they going to be the babies who are crying and whining and, I haven't had any sleep. We haven't had any food. You know, no. We have to go. We have to move on. We have to do the show. So no matter what. And these guys have a smile on their face no matter what. I am so thankful for that.
I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that you're still teaching them, even your daughter, who is your daughter, still had learned things to learn about being a band member. And she's learned that stuff, and now she's taking it to, so when will she start appearing? You probably mentioned it. When will she start being part of the band that people could go find and see them?
Well, it's all dependent upon what I hear now. It's a 10-week boot camp.
Okay.
She started in May, so she should, if all goes well, she should be out on August the 1st and then be playing, I guess, then it's all uniforms. Everything has to be, everything has to line up properly. She has to have the proper attire and all that stuff. So if her uniforms are there, she will appear with them in Marion, and I think that's like the second or third weekend of August, something like that.
Okay.
I also heard that should she get sick, here's the downside of all of this, if she should get sick or anything, and they have to go in quarantine for 2 weeks, and she has to start completely over.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that would be terrible if that happened. But
You know what she's not going to do? She's not going to complain.
That's right. She's, put a smile on her face no matter what.
She's in it for the duration, as they used to say. I'm here for the duration. Well, so proud of your daughter. I'm so always glad. I should have called you before, because no matter what's going on, and there's a lot going on right now, which isn't within the purview of this show, but I will say this, that I should talk to you on a regular basis, because you always make me feel better, because your attitude is such that it's just a positive thing. We're always moving forward. We're always moving forward with Rhonda Vincent, no matter what. And the music is still just absolutely sparkling. Everything. Do you have anything new? I say this, it's silly. You just had an album come out that was nominated for a Grammy. But is anything in the works that we can look for in within a year or so?
I have three different projects that I can't decide which one to go for. I have one song. My first idea, because we have Jeannie Seeley, wrote a song or started writing a song for me several years ago, told me about it, and then she had the flood at her house, and it wiped. She had this, all these lyrics written down on paper that was destroyed in the flood.
Oh, jeez.
So recently, she said they started coming back to her, and she started thinking about this song, and it's called I Miss Missouri. Anyway, she invited me and Aaron Enderlin, and we got to go to her house a couple of times, and we finished writing this song. And we've recently performed it for the Missouri Department of Tourism. In fact, they perhaps will have a campaign around it, which is what we're hoping. But we've written this song. So that gave me the idea with the song I Ain't Been Nowhere that I did on this Music Is What I See.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to sing the song I've Been Everywhere. And I thought, we already have already done this, so now we know the music. I know the pace. I wonder if I could learn that. So my idea, number one, is to do a travel, I started making a list of all the different songs there are. I mean, this is just off the top of my head, you know, T for Texas and Miss the Mississippi and all of the different locations. And number one song would be Heaven. That's a location,
yeah.
A destination.
Yeah.
So I started thinking of all these songs. So I already have a song I wrote called Bluegrass Island, and it's ready to go. So I just haven't pulled the trigger. Maybe I should send it to you, and you should debut it for
I'll
the first time on this show, and
I'll
that will officially be our new single.
I'll do that. Send it to me.
Can we do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, you've helped me make this decision. This will be our next.
Just, this was our happy. This was our happy connection. The good things come from these things, I believe. And I don't believe there are accidents. I think we're all connected, and that's a whole other story. But so when we leave here, Rhonda, you're gonna. I'm gonna call you back because you're gonna send. You promised me a photograph, which we don't have to talk about here. It's a photograph involving Sonny. I will send you back. This is my phone, which the world doesn't know, but you do, and I have your number. I'll send you a text that'll give you my email address. You send me that song, I guarantee it'll be on the show. That'll actually air with this interview if you want.
All right. Well, so for the first time anywhere,
Yeah. Our
debut of our brand new single called Bluegrass Island.
I'm very excited. Rhonda Vincent, I'm so glad to get to talk with you again. I know for a fact I will see you in upstate New York at Gray Fox, probably other places, but I will be there and I'll find you no matter where you are. So. Can't wait.
I will look forward to it.
Thanks, you, Rhonda. I love you so much.
I love you. Thank you so very much, and see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Blessings.